Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us in studio on behalf of the FedEx Air and Ground program is Carson Palmer once again. And Boomer and Carson, of course, with a lot in common. And this year, the nominees for the FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year are through the air, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Phillip Rivers, and on the ground, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, and the Giants' own Saquon Barkley. Carson, welcome back. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm doing
fantastic. We got to get the microphone on
Flakes.
In here.
Can we turn the microphone on?
There it is.
There's the light.
All right.
Yeah, it's all it is.
So I know it takes a lot for you to leave your Idaho abode now. Now, we got into that the last time you were here. You need to get away from everything. You go out there. There's nobody around bothering you. So, I mean, are you having a panic attack being in the city this morning? You're doing all right.
A little bit. I flew in last night, and it took me, I think, an hour and 45 minutes to get from the airport from JFK to downtown Manhattan.
Welcome to New York. We don't feel sorry for you. I mean, we deal with that every day.
I know. It's a shock, though, coming from Idaho, where you don't see another truck on the road.
Yeah. I think about that a lot. You know, that interview was a couple months ago, and I thought about you a lot in that situation because, I mean, to me, when you're someone who is a quarterback, and knowing from Boomer, he tells me this, and the scrutiny that you get, everybody's talking about you, and you're in different places, and then there was a drama in one place, or you leaving the Bengals and going somewhere else, and then it got so much to the point where you had to get so far away from it, you didn't even go to Montana. You went to Idaho. There's at least people in Montana. You went to Idaho, where I don't know that anybody lives. It's fascinating to me. You know, really.
Yeah, it was New Zealand or Idaho. And logistically, moving to New Zealand is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So Idaho was a close second.
You're not
second.
Kidding. You really were thinking about going to New Zealand.
My wife and I talked about it. But you really can't. It's impossible to move to New Zealand with four kids.
You know, well, Carson and I do have a lot in common. Not only did we play for the Bengals, he played for the Raiders. I played for the Cardinals. He played for the Cardinals. I played for the Jets. So essentially, he played in his version of the Bermuda Triangle as well.
Right.
So realizing that you had Hugh Jackson as a coach for you out there in Oakland, are you kind of like you, I guess, right?
I love Hugh. I've known Hugh since I was 16. He recruited me to USC back in the day. And he gets a lot of – I think what went wrong is when he stopped being able to call plays. He's a phenomenal play caller. His play-action game is unreal. His timing, his rhythm, his screen game is great. But once he went to Cleveland, then he had to hire Todd Haley, and he had a run game coordinator, a pass game coordinator. Once he kind of diluted himself out of actually calling plays – That was one of his great strengths. And so I'm looking forward, hopefully, him getting another shot at calling plays.
It sounds like it's could be Minnesota with Mike Zimmer, a former buddy of his from your days. He knows, right?
Zim knows. He coached with, you know, Zim was the D coordinator. Hugh was the offense coordinator for a little bit and then the receiver coach. So he's very familiar with him. He's practiced against him. He's prepared against him as, you know, you go through training camps.
I just keep wondering how a guy like 336-1, how does he keep getting jobs? And then, of course, he goes back to Cincinnati and they lose to Cleveland twice.
I know.
Baker Mayfield's out there staring him down on the sideline.
I know. But look at the opportunity in Oakland. It was a lose-lose situation. Al Davis had just died. The organization was in turmoil. Right. Then he goes to Cleveland at, you know, the tail end of one of the worst runs in the National Football League when that place was a mess. And, you know, obviously it doesn't help that as soon as he leaves that the team takes off and wins games. But again, when he was taking, it sounds like the play calling duties were taken out of his hands. You know, that's one of his greatest strengths.
Maybe he's better as just an offensive coordinator as opposed to a head coach. Who knows? I guess we'll find out. So you're here for FedEx Air and Ground. Before we get to those players, do you keep an eye on Sam Darnold?
Absolutely.
All right. So give Jet fans your assessment of what you saw here the last part of the year from Sam.
Oh, I'm a big Sam fan. You know, I think obviously they don't have a lot on offense. As, you know, you compare his situation with Baker. Baker's got, you know, Landry and a great offensive line. He's got a defense that plays really, really good football. He's got playmakers around him. The tight end that they draft in the first round from Miami, and Joku. You know, you can go on and on down the list. There's good players all around him. Once the Jets build this thing up and have some real threats on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to see Sam take off.
So out of the four rookie quarterbacks that we saw play this year, how would you put the top of it? You don't have to go rank all four of them, but which one of the, is the one that you saw the most promise out of?
I think a better way for me to answer it might be if we're to look back in 6 years, I think you're going to look back and say, man, Sam Darnold and Josh Allen are probably the two best in the class.
Really? Even after what Baker Mayfield did?
Probably with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has the highest ceiling, which probably everybody thinks because of the size and the speed and the arm strength. But I think in 5 or 6 years, you can look back and go, man, he should have been maybe number one. Sam's probably right where he was at number two. And Baker is a little bit further on down the list. I just feel like Baker's reached his potential maybe. And I know he's a rookie and it's hard to say, but he's played in a ton of big games. He's played a lot of football. You look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen has not played a lot of football, but Josh Allen is a physical freak. I mean, he was the leading rusher and leading passer.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
It's kind of like Mitch Trubisky, what he's doing in Chicago a little bit.
Doing it all.
Right, he is doing it all. And, you know, how old are you? We're talking to Carson Palmer. He's here with FedEx and the FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year. Quarterback-wise, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Phillip Rivers. Running back-wise, Todd Gurley, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley. People can vote for this. This has nothing to do with the MVPs or any of that stuff. People, where do they have to go to vote for this?
So you go to Twitter. You can vote on Twitter. You can vote on NFL.com/FedEx. My vote is your guy. I know you got the man crush.
Right there.
You got the man crush on your guy, Patrick Mahomes. Yes. Can we talk about the 50 touchdown passes?
Yeah.
50.
Yeah, I know that. So Nate Burleson, who I work with on CBS NFL Today, and Phil Sims, you know him. Remember him? He used to play for the Giants. There's his picture right there. He always makes me have his picture in my room anywhere I go. But anyway, they had a bet before the season. Nate bet that he was going to throw at least 50 touchdown passes.
He really?
And yeah. Phil, obviously, you know, the curmudgeon that he is, basically turned him down. Said, oh, yeah, I'll take that bet in a heartbeat.
I would have taken the bet, too. Would you bet 50?
Yes.
You thought
he
was going to throw 50 touchdowns?
Yes.
50.
Yes.
You thought he was going to break the NFL record and throw 50 touchdowns?
Yes.
That's a lot of faith.
Look, I was faithful.
He was all over him. So I mean, I can vouch for him on this.
I know you've been all over him.
He loved.
But 50 touchdowns?
Yes.
In year one?
Yep.
He would have made a lot of money in Vegas. Well, that was a prop bet?
He was that explosive, yes. So you like him.
I like him. But I have a tough time with who I'm going to – I'm going to vote for Patrick Mahomes because 50 touchdowns is so many touchdowns.
Right.
And you and I know how many touchdowns that is.
And how hard that is, yes.
But I love Drew Brees as a good friend. I love watching Phillip Rivers play. It's a tough vote for me, but when you throw 50 touchdowns, you're getting my FedEx Air vote. Yeah. On the FedEx ground, I got to go with Ezekiel Elliott. The guy's a workhorse. He led the league in rushing. He also did a lot of great things in the passing game because their screen game is phenomenal. They can get their offensive lineman out in front of him and get him in space. But the FedEx program is amazing. FedEx is donating $20,000 to the USO in names of both the winning air winner and the ground winner, so a total of $40,000, and that donation goes to the USO Pathfinder program. And the USO Pathfinder program is phenomenal. It helps our retired servicemen and women transition into civilian life and helps them with the next phase of their next career.
And so, how old are you when you retired?
I was 38.
Okay, so Eli Manning
just turned
38 yesterday, I think. What do you think the prospects for him are moving forward?
I wouldn't be surprised if he might be sitting in this chair, maybe that chair. I wouldn't be surprised if he shut it down.
Really?
Yeah. I just, and you know, as you went through it, you get to a point where things just don't work the way they used to. And you either adjust and compromise, or they just don't work anymore. And once you get to, and take Tom Brady and Drew Brees out of it, they're freaks. They're outside the conversation. But when you get to that kind of 35, 36, you see it in running backs when they get to 29, 30, 31. But all of a sudden, the ball doesn't come out quite the same way. You're not transferring. You're having a difficult time getting off your back foot and getting through your throws and transferring your weight. You just slowly start to see those things with Eli over the last probably two seasons. Mm-hmm. and he knows him, and before our eyes see him, he's feeling it, and he knows it's coming. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was it for
him. Do you see the same stuff with Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger? Because we don't. You know, I mean, that's the thing. That's what people will say. They compare those three guys, and it seems like they are so far ahead of where Eli is right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird too, because Phillip's game isn't – he's not going to overpower you forever. You know, he's never come into the league or in college and just thrown the ball like Patrick all over the field and just velocity and, you know, speed and all that. He beats you with accuracy. He beats you with rhythm and timing. Roethlisberger beats you with just making somebody fly off his shoulder or miss him and, you know, move around the pocket. And, you know, 8 seconds after he snapped it, he throws it 40 yards down the field. You know, Eli's been in the pocket. He's been a progression quarterback. He's you know, not had an overpowering arm, but he's got a lot more arm than people give him credit for. And that's something that helped him have that success. Once you take away the velocity and the speed and some of the accuracy that he's had over the years, the game drastically changed. Where Phillip can lose a little bit more arm strength and still play, because he beats you with timing, he beats you with anticipation, where you're just starting to see it slip a little bit away from Eli, unfortunately.
And quickly, Phillip's going to go on the road to Baltimore. Tell people what it's like to play in Baltimore when they got a top-ranked defense.
Man, that defense is stingy. The run, you know, you're not going to get many opportunities. They're going to run the ball. They're going to absorb a majority of the clock. So it's going to be a tough one.
Should be low scoring, I would imagine.
I don't know, but you look at the Chargers and what they have on the outside, and now that Gordon's back, it sounds like he's healthy and he's going to play. They're explosive. They can score quick. But that defense is just stingy, and you know, you got Terrell Suggs leading the way, and a lot of young, explosive, physical players. I don't know if the Chargers are physical enough. They weren't the last time they mm-hmm. played against them. I don't know if they're tough enough up front to keep up with them.
We're talking to Carson Palmer on Boomer and Geo on the Fan CBS Sports Network. Now, I know when you played with Chad Johnson, I mean, the guy was a total goofball, and he was all about media stuff and everything else. But you know, what's going on in Pittsburgh is a little bit different than that, because you had Antonio Brown. I don't remember if Chad Johnson just didn't show up to a game or practices or walkthroughs and stuff
Probably.
Like that. Did he? Was there a time that happened?
No. I mean, he showed up for work.
Yeah,
when it came down to it, he showed up for work.
But he was a big pain in the ass. So you got Antonio Brown in this situation in Pittsburgh. If you're Ben Roethlisberger, you're the veteran, you've had the success, you're dealing with this, how are you feeling about it?
It's so odd to hear it out of all places, Pittsburgh, right? Mm-hmm. You never hear of anything out of Pittsburgh. Everybody kind of falls in line. You know, it's always about the team, but for the first time over the last 2 years, you're hearing issues with Le'Veon Bell and the offensive line are talking about Le'Veon needs to be here, Ben's calling him out. But you get Le'Veon's point. Le'Veon's produced and produced and produced and produced and wants a long-term deal, and they're not going to give it to him. So it's been just constant drama, because some guys believe, you know, Le'Veon should be compensated for what he's capable of doing and what he's done. And then some guy, you know, we want him here and he should be here. And then AB goes out and starts throwing footballs at Roethlisberger and not showing. I mean, it's so odd to hear that out of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because that's not who they are. They're a defensive football team. They do things the right way, you know. And for it to finally for it to get to this point is so odd and so weird.
You think they have to trade him?
Yeah.
You think they have to trade him now?
I think they have to wait till June 1st to
trade
him.
Yeah, the salary cap implications and stuff. It sounds like just get rid of him, just trade him, but it's not that easy anymore.
You can't.
Yeah, because the amount of money that they may have to absorb without the player being there. And let's face it, this player is one of the most explosive players that we've seen in the last 10 years. And, you know, so Gio brought this up yesterday, and then all of a sudden I started seeing this all over the place. And I didn't even think about this. They announced Juju Smith-Schuster as the team MVP, I guess on that Wednesday or that Tuesday.
Yep.
And then all the problems started the next day. Could it be something as trivial and petty as that?
110%.
Really?
Absolutely.
Come
it's
on.
It's a respect. I'm sure he felt disrespected.
By his
I'm
teammates?
Not saying we should disagree or agree with it. I'm just saying I can see – You've seen enough on TV and social media and to know that Antonio's super into that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I mean, Antonio scored like 16 touchdowns this year.
Yes, I know.
15 touchdowns. And Juju had a good year, but he didn't score 15 touchdowns.
And Juju
wasn't
also
all pro.
Fumbled in the biggest game of the year.
That's
at
right.
New Orleans.
It was a respect thing.
And
absolutely.
AB had the big game in a big spot against a good team.
Right. Everybody's all over Juju out there now. Like, he's the new thing. He's perfect. So, it's so driving him crazy.
So wait a minute. Time out. So AB goes out to practice on Wednesday and starts firing footballs at Ben Roethlisberger because Juju Smith-Schuster is the MVP of the Bengals? I mean, of the Steelers?
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. I think he walked into work. He saw, I don't know, they probably wrote it on a dry erase board. Congratulations, Juju Smith, MVP. And I'm sure he walked right, I'm sure he walked in the building, he saw that, and he turned right around and got back in his car and drove home.
Carson.
Yeah. But why throw balls at Ben Roethlisberger?
Why not? I mean, if you're going to just take off and just decide not to show up to practice or not to show up to work, why not throw a football at Roethlisberger? On your way out the door.
Big exclamation point. We know you have to go. Yeah. It's always great having you in here. So, once again, Mahomes and Zeke.
I'm voting for Mahomes, Zeke. You can vote on Twitter. You can vote NFL.com/FedEx. Again, it's a great cause. Get voting. The voting stops the 31st of February, and we're going to announce on Saturday, January 2nd, who the winners are.
Carson Palmer on Boomer and Geo.
February 2nd.
February
2nd, FedEx.
Day before the Super Bowl.
Day before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've been there before that. Been there, done that. Hold on to that job. That's a good job. You want that job.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan.
For me, so.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Son of a bitch.
It really is.
You have no idea.
Tough guy to deal with.
All right. Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.